Check it, check, check. One, two. All right, we're live. Well, pre-recorded live. We're live right now. We're live when I'm recording this, but we're not live when you hear it. I mean, we're still alive, but we're not live. I'll just change the subject. I'll make out like a status and change the subject. I am, in the previous episode, where the fuck? I don't have it here. I talked about I'm reading the book, The Unchained Man, by Caleb. I can't remember his last name. Anyhow, I'm in the part now about societal programming. You know, this book is really fucking good. I'm only on page 50, and it's amazing. You can scream and shout with all your might. And you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, motherfucking moan, looking for a safe space. Can shove your opinion up your ass. That way Obama's cock has something to keep it company. Don't forget, the ever-present, the most likely, the third possibility that you know is true. You are wrong, and I am right. That happens because I am the great one himself. I am the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society. I've been on the internet since 1999. I've been podcasting for 11 years. Yeah, see, this is not my first motherfucking rodeo. Thinking about politics, economics, political philosophy, all this other shit. And this is Stating the Obvious Podcast. It is the weapons platform from which I launched the cruise missile my intellect bombs down and destroys the motherfucking status all around the world. All over the world, no matter where my motherfucking status is. A nuclear-tipped cruise missile with a stupidity-seeking missile will find you, kill you. Sometimes there are survivors, and that's why we use the 50 caliber machine gun to mow them down. Of course, you can do that because after you nuke them, they glow in the dark at night. Sorry, that was not. This is not me recording the podcast. This is not. This is me doing shit. So, alright, I'm back. It's been productive here at the at the recording studios of the Cynical Libertarian Society. Today is the 11th of... Randy, what month is this? Thank you. July. June? No, July, yeah. Ah, shit, I gotta do that, too. Hang on, let me write that on my notes. I have to do this today. Ah, shit, it's too late. They're already closed. Ah, fuck. All right, tomorrow. Tomorrow should be doable. It's hot outside and I'm drinking hot tea. The mint hot tea again. Mint is rapidly becoming my favorite. Anyway, it's been very busy around here for one thing. We've been doing a little bit of spring cleaning. It's not spring, but we've been spring cleaning anyway. And as you know, if you've listened to the podcast for a while, they're right behind me here in the recruiting... in the recording studios of the Cynical Libertarian Society. I have my bookshelves, which have books on them, but unfortunately also have all this other shit piled up on them. And it was, again, reaching the point of stupidity where I couldn't get to the books for the shit. And the other day, I'm looking for the incense tray to burn incense in. I couldn't find it, so I ended up buying another one. And as I'm cleaning today, so I've been cleaning the bookshelves, I'm taking shit off the bookshelves, and there's the fucking incense burner right there, buried under all the shit that was in the way. So I have almost all the shit. I love that. Randy, this is the favorite. Look. Oh, by the way, I am the great one himself. The founder in the control room over there is the lovely and adorable Randy. Cynical Libertarian Society, CYNLIBSOC.com on the interwebs. Fucking subscribe via the RSS feed. You won't miss any podcast or anything else. It's the best thing you can do. I am still banned on the YouTube for copyright violations because the corporation, David Gilmour's music, yada, yada, yada. By the way, the introduction music and the exit music for Stating the Obvious podcast is the song You Know I'm Right by David Gilmour. It's off his 1984 album About Face. It's a song that he wrote about me, and that's why I use it. Even though the corporation that owns David Gilmour's music, which is interesting because David Gilmour is a left-wing statist, but of course the corporation that owns his music doesn't like me using his music on the YouTube, and so I am banned. I was going to say something else. Oh, thank you. And also, if you want to send us email, the email address is god, that's dog spelled backwards, G-O-D, at CYNLIBSOC.com. Send your love mail, your hate mail, whatever. I gotta fucking do the fan mail episode because I got some good messages from people. I gotta do a fan mail episode. Fuck, I gotta shortlist that. So much going on. Randy, check it out. On the bookshelf, check. Condom. Is condom expired in? When did it expire? Because I know it did. Holy shit. Expiration date, September 2014. Okay, it's time to clean the bookshelves, guys. Time to fucking clean the bookshelves. So I've got almost all the shit that is not a book off of the bookshelves. The next step will be taking the books off, or at least most of them. There's a couple of shelves I don't need to fuck with. Next step will be taking the books off and organizing them and blowing the dust off and seeing, hey, look, I forgot I had this book. And also getting other books in because, as I've said, I have given up. I finally given up the ghost on e-readers, on this fucking Kindle shit. I'm going back to fucking books printed on paper because I'm just done with the whole e-book thing. It's stupid. It's annoying. I understand it works for you, but see, in an anarcho-capitalist society, in Ancapadice, just because something works for you doesn't mean you would be able to force everybody else to do it. And you can use your fucking e-reader if you want. I'm going to use a motherfucking book made out of a dead tree because that's what works for me. So go fuck yourself. The Unchained Mail is Unchained Man Mail. The Unchained Man, the book I'm reading right now, it is fucking, well, one of the books I'm reading right now, it's brilliant. I also found two dead hard drives. I'm like, oh, hey, I really should be keeping these fucking hard drives that are dead. This is critical shit. So I'm going to plug those in later, make sure there's nothing incriminating on them. And then those are going to the dumpster. And then, oh man, ammunition was on sale. 40% off ammunition. Now, of course, we don't have any guns here at the Cynical Libertarian Society. Absolutely no guns whatsoever. Because, you know, like Michael W. Dean, I lost all my guns in a boating accident. However, we do have enough ammunition. Oh, god damn it. I could repel the fucking army of Russia. Oh boy, 40% off on ammo. We've got some ammunition. We don't have any guns. Of course, because guns are evil. Guns are what made a homosexual Muslim go into a nightclub full of homosexuals and shoot them. You know, the guns mind controlled him. Well, that and the internet. So we don't have any guns because guns are evil. But we do have enough ammunition. Oh, God, do I have ammunition. All right, that's enough of that. It's never enough. Okay, where do I want to go? Let me go. Fuck, I need to keep notes. I need to get better at keeping notes about what I talk about. I never know what the fuck I talk about. So I talked about bookshelves. Talked about buying ammo. I talked about your mom. Ooh, it's a mom joke. All right, so let's talk about something I don't know very much about. The cops got shot in Dallas, whatever. All right, I heard some stuff. I just, this is one of those things where, I mean, honestly, I could go do research. At some point, I'm sure I'll listen to the Stefan Molyneux video about it and some other people. Guys, I really don't care. I just really don't care at all. Now here's, because I was talking to somebody. God, I was talking to somebody else. What the fuck is there? Is another story I was going to tell. Randy, you remember the other story I was going to tell? Did I tell you the other story I was going to tell? Great. I should write shit down. So somebody was telling me the story about this today, and apparently this is what this person God, it seemed like there's another story. I can't fucking remember it now. This person told me that this sequence of events happened, which led up to this, which I had heard nothing about. So I'm going to very briefly tell you the story as it was told to me, with the important caveat here that everything I'm saying might be completely untrue because I have done no research on this. I'm not going to do research on it unless, again, if Stefan Molyneux does a video or something, if I run across the info, but I'm not searching for it because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. All of this is a reflection of the society that those of you who are statist want to live in. And while you're getting all upset and about how this is racism and this is because of guns and the internet and all this other stuff, no, it's not. It's not. This is all ultimately because of statism. And it just doesn't fucking matter. None of this is important in the long run. So here's the story as it was told to me, and this is going to come back around to homosexual Muslims going into homosexual dance clubs and shooting people, and why the police took so long to respond. Because we talked about that, and I've talked about that hundreds of times. Well, not hundreds. 10 times, at least. I've talked about, like, when there's a school shooting, the cops show up and they stand around outside and they don't do anything while the psycho is inside killing the kids. I've explained multiple times the two ways to prevent this from ever happening again, to completely eliminate public school shootings, but of course nobody will listen because you're all a bunch of statist cocksucking motherfuckers. It's fine. All right, here's the story, briefly, because we know I do things briefly, as it was related to me. Man is driving down the street. I forgot what state I was told he was in. He's driving along, and he's black, and there's a woman and a child with him, his wife and his daughter. I assume, again, it's very sketchy. The details don't fucking matter. There's an overall point. We're getting to it. They're cruising along. Cop pulls him over for something, whatever. You know, again, as I said, the main function of the police is to write speeding tickets and make money. The police do not exist to protect you. They're not here to protect and serve. That is not what their function is. Their function is to write speeding tickets, make money for the government. That's their primary purpose. All right. So the cop goes up, you know, does the thing. Hey, let me see your license, registration, whatever. And apparently the little girl, maybe somebody in the car, had the cell phone out and was live streaming this event to something. I heard it was Facebook. I didn't know you could live stream to Facebook. It doesn't fucking matter the details, okay? It's on the internet. It's happening live. It must be real. So the driver says to the cop, sure, and I need you to know that I have a permit to carry a weapon. And I've got a weapon with me. And when I give you my license, I'll also give you my permit. Okay. First of all, having a weapon. Excellent job, young man. Good for you. This man having a gun did not mind control him. It didn't make him into a homosexual. It didn't make him into a Muslim. It didn't make him a homosexual Muslim. Didn't make him a homosexual Muslim who went into a gay nightclub and shot people. Because, you see, the gun wasn't controlling him. He was a fucking rational, intelligent human being. So he says to the cop, and then he reaches to get his driver's license and his carry permit. I don't know if it was concealed carry. I don't know, again, what state is he in? What state is he from? Whatever. But to get his weapons permit and his driver's license. And at that point, the cop pulls out his gun and tells the guy, you know, give me your license. And the guy's like, what the fuck? And then the cop puts 2 bullets into him, and then he bleeds out and dies. Now, let's assume for the moment that all of this is true. Like I said, I don't know. I haven't verified it. I don't give a fuck. I don't care if it's true or not. This is like a fairy tale. Okay, there's a lesson to be learned. We're just talking about the lesson. It's like reading the Bible. Okay, Moses didn't really fucking turn a stick into a snake. Jesus didn't really turn water into wine. Okay, I know some of you think that's true. It's not. Okay, but these are fairy tales designed to impart lessons upon people. This is the same thing. The story I just told you could be completely fictitious. I don't give a shit. Here's what you need to understand. The police, as I have explained to you before, number one, their first priority is always their own safety. The guy in the car, the driver, may not have had a gun anywhere, whatever. The cop doesn't give a shit. The cop panicked, the cop freaked out, and the first thing that came into the cop's mind is, I have to protect my own safety. I have to protect myself. Now, this is not, as many of you will, of course, argue, this is not a bad thing. If everybody protected their own safety instead of outsourcing it to the police, we wouldn't need the police. However, you're a bunch of statists, and you expect the taxpayers as a whole to chip in all this money to fund a police force to protect you from evil and danger and all this other stuff because you're not willing to protect yourself. If everybody, or at least most people, simply carried a sidearm and were willing to protect themselves from homosexual Muslims who wanted to shoot people, the police would be unnecessary. So remember, every time a police officer kills somebody, the police officer can only kill people because the police exist. And the police only exist because you, as a statist, are not willing to defend yourself, and so you want to outsource your defense to other people and have everybody else in society pay for your defense instead of you just going and buying ammunition when it's on sale for 40% off. Okay. Now, the next important fact here is that the cop panicked. Now, why did the cop panic? Did he see a gun? No. He just heard the word gun, and he freaked. Now, why is this? Well, despite what you've been told about how well-trained the police are, as I have told you before, and as you will hear from other sources in the ANCAPosphere, and probably the cop block sphere and other spheres out there, the average police officer is not well trained at all. The average police officer spends their time writing tickets. They are not trained to deal with situations like people pulling guns on them, because that doesn't fall into what they are normally expected to deal with. And how much time can the cop spend training for situations like that when the cops have to be out there doing things like writing tickets in order to keep the money coming in? And of course, doing like routine boring shit, right? The police department is like any other left-wing oriented corporation in existence. I mean, the police officers, okay, so they're here to do this job. And what, I mean, let's say that in theory, their job is to serve and protect. We know it's really to write traffic tickets and stuff like that. But even with whatever you think their job is, they still have to do all this other shit that they have to do. Paperwork, diversity training, you know, attending fucking mandatory meetings and seminars, you know, whatever. So, and then you throw in, they have to actually do their fucking job where they're out there in the police car pulling people over because their taillight is out or whatever. And, you know, unless they're all working more than 40 hours a week, which I would, you know, and just don't get me wrong, I still don't like police officers or anything, but I hope they're not working more than 40 hours a week. If they are, there's part of the problem, because if you're working too much, you're going to be stressed, you're going to be tired, you're going to be fatigued, you're going to be more likely to make bad decisions. Okay, if you have police officers who can fucking shoot people for no fucking good reason, the last thing you want is for the police officers to be tired, to be stressed out, you know, So you want them not working more than 40 hours a week. You want them to fucking go away from the job, spend time with their family, relax, de-stress. You want them to get sleep at night. You want them to eat healthy. You want them to exercise. You want them to be in peak physical fucking condition, mental condition, emotional condition. So they should not be working more than 40 hours a week. If this story is true, if this fairy tale is true, because I call it a fairy tale because I have not verified not one fucking word of this, not one. Could all be a lie. But see, it's a story. It's a story of something that could happen. And the point is to learn from it. In this situation, if it happened, why would a cop shoot this man? Other than, yes, we get that he's black and we get that all white people are racist. We know this. Why would he shoot this guy? There's not a gun in sight. Just he heard the word gun. He panics, he freaks out, he shoots the guy. Ultimately, it's poor training. Because the wanting to defend yourself, wanting to, you know, look after your own safety, I mean, that's natural. But I want to defend myself too. I look after my own safety. But if somebody says the word gun, I don't fucking pull my sidearm and start shooting at them. The cop did this because poor training. And what's interesting is he works for the government. He's the fucking police officer. And according to you statist, these are the people you want the police to be able to kill people. You want them to have this power. You're the same people say, well, you have to do what I've got this one friend. He's like, because we sometimes talk about the police, and you know, a cop pulls you over and you says, can I search your car? And you say, no, you cannot search my car. And he's like, I just can't imagine saying the word no to a police officer. If he says he wants to search your car, I just could never say no to that. He's a police officer. And this guy's as left-wing fucking statist, Obama-humping cocksucker as you can get. It's you statist, and believe you, again, right-wing statists are all, we support the police! Right-wing statists and their fucking love for the police and the military. And I say that for, again, I'm a former infantry soldier, fucking 11 Bravo, light infantry, rapid deployment force. Go fuck yourself. You know, this rabid support, it's you statist. You want the police to exist. You want the police to have guns. You want the police to be able to kill people. You want the police to be obeyed anytime something comes out of their mouth. And yet, look how poorly trained they are. Look how, if this story is true, he really panicked over that? The man says, I have a permit to carry a weapon. I have a weapon with me. I'm going to give you the permit when I give you the driver's license. And that triggered some cop into fucking squeezing the trigger and putting two rounds in this man and killing him? That is some piss poor fucking training. Somebody could walk up to me right now and say, hey, great one. I have a fucking permit to carry a sidearm and I've got a gun on me right now and I'm going to give you the permit. And I would totally be able to resist shooting that person. I could absolutely 100% not shoot that person. Even if he is black. I could still not shoot him. Police officer, paid to carry a gun, has a badge, trained, fucking panics and shoots somebody? It's fucking pathetic. And until you cocksuckers out there can let go of statism, until you can let go of your fear and your terror about being alive and everything in the world, which requires you to need this police force to give you this sense of security because you think they are there to protect you. Because you think the police somehow give a shit about you personally. Until you can let go of that fear, the police will always be there and they'll always be incidences like this happening. Okay. Speaking of, I don't even think I want to talk about. Speaking of, I just said, bookshelves. I'm going to the bookshelf. I pulled the book. This is the Black Lace Book of Women's Sexual Fantasies. It's edited by Carrie Sharp. And blah, 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 continued on the black. Here we go. The result of nearly 2 years of in-depth research, consisting of corresponding with women all over the English-speaking world, the Black Lace Book of Women's Sexual Fantasies lays bare the female sexual imagination in vivid and high arousing detail. The shocking and at times bizarre revelations within these pages will startle you, thrill you, maybe even inspire you. Because as we know, women, of course, don't have any kind of sexual fantasies. And their sexual fantasies sure as hell don't involve being sexually dominated by strong men. Which, you know, would, if that were true, that could, of course, explain perhaps, I don't know, why so many women want Muslim alpha males to come to the United States or Europe and have sex with them? I don't know. I just throwing that out. That could possibly be related. I opened the book to a random page. Here we go. Opal, 43 years old. She's a housewife. Wait, what's this? Oh God, that's hilarious. Now I'm just going to read the one that I stuck to. Here we go. Although my fantasies are different, the man or men involved are always dominant. They always know what I want and need and always supply it. So guys, first of all, not only should you need to be dominant, but see, you're supposed to know what she wants and needs. Because again, remember, women, in addition to not having self-awareness, women don't know what they want or need sexually because they don't have self-awareness. And even if they did, they can't fucking communicate it to you because they can't fucking communicate overtly like men do. They communicate covertly. She can't just say, fuck me up the ass. She's got a, you know, if she even knows that's what she wants, she's just going to hint at it. You have to figure it out. Okay, until I met my husband when I was 22... I was totally unaware of my sexuality. I was probably a late developer, and although I had plenty of boyfriends, I barely tolerated their kisses. Well, I would assume she had plenty of boyfriends because once they figured out she didn't want to kiss them, they dumped her, I would hope. Having met my husband, I discovered the joy of sex, everything from different and more interesting uses for double cream to 69s. I love sharing a bath or shower. I can get turned on by a neat, tight bum. Yes, women do like tight asses. I'm in. I enjoy reading erotic novels. I get horny wearing provocative underwear, blah, blah, blah. My favorite fantasy goes like this. I have a terrific job working in... Remember, this is a female fantasy. This is me opening the book to a random fucking page. Just letting you know. Okay, did not cherry pick this. Random female fantasy. Remember, all rape is bad. As we were going through that, remember that rape is a bad thing, and you're supposed to treat women in the sex like they're fucking your equals, and they're delicate, and all this other shit. All right, here we go. My favorite fantasy goes like this. I have a terrific job working in a large, beautiful house. Alex, my boss, is an ordinary sort of guy. So, he's in his mid-40s, good, firm body, nice looks, and the most beautiful eyes, dark and serious. So, see, this is her idea of an ordinary sort of guy. He's got a great, firm body, and he lives in this giant house, so he must have a lot of money. Here's our first loss of contact with reality. That is not an ordinary sort of guy. An ordinary sort of guy... In the year of our Lord, Hussein Obama, 2016, ordinary sort of guy is pasty, kind of chubby, balding, looks at a computer screen all day, may have good money, but would rather play a computer. Anyway, let's get back to this woman's fantasies. So we're going to learn some stuff here. From the very beginning, there is a feeling of instant understanding, as if we've always known each other. There is no awkwardness, and we talk intimately about ourselves. At the end of my second week, Alex tells me how he enjoys fantasies and acting them out. Quote, "Would you consider joining me in my fantasies?" unquote, he asks. Quote, "I promise they will not endanger your marriage. It will be for us to enjoy during working hours only," unquote. How could I refuse? Especially as I have a few fantasies of my own. So her fantasy includes cheating on her husband. Now, remember what I said when I said that women are biologically incapable of loyalty? And remember when the kerfuffle on the feminist book, and I had to make an entire episode of the podcast, which was really not all that good, because it was just responding to the trolls was really much more boring than I thought I'd be able to make it, because it was all just so stupid. And I really couldn't make it entertaining even to me. But remember, women not care. What's her fantasy? Her fantasy is to fuck the alpha male who she works for, and the hell with her husband. I wonder what gives me the idea that women are not capable of loyalty. I can't fucking figure this out. This is bizarre. How could women, I mean, monogamy and loyalty to the partner, that is like the cornerstone of a woman's world, right? I mean, she gets married, she's monogamous and faithful to her husband, because loyalty is a driving force to the female psyche. I can't figure out why her fantasy would involve being fucked by her boss, even though she's married to another man. I can't figure this out. All right. "Yes, I would like that, providing that you never physically harm me. What had you in mind?" Then he responds, "Since your interview, I'd have had visions of you standing naked before me. You kneel in front of me and take me in your mouth. My hands move towards my jacket. No, don't move, because I have since enlarged the scene." You can tell this is written by a woman. Can you imagine a man saying any of this to a woman? Can you imagine these sentences coming out of the mouth of a man? Oh God. He leans over his desk, presses a buzzer. A moment later, the door opens and David, the chauffeur, enters. "Come in, David. Remove Marie's clothes." Slowly, David unbuttons my jacket and slips it off, then my skirt, leaving me standing in my black lace bra and panties and sheer nylon hold-ups. My eyes are fixed on Alex. I feel no embarrassment as I know my figure is still good. Not as firm as it was, but not flabby. She also feels no embarrassment because she has a husband that she's cheating on, because, you know, monogamy and loyalty and marriage are, of course, the center of a woman's life. Anyhow, "Once I am completely naked, Alex reaches out to slide his hands over my breast, pinching my nipples until they are erect. His hands continue down my body, his nails gently grazing my belly until they reach my pubic hair." Sorry, it's just too funny. I tried writing erotica many years ago. Anyway. And it was bad. I mean, it's bad. It's hard to write. In my opinion, it's hard to do good erotica. And this is, you know, this chick's not a writer. She's just relating her fantasies. I shouldn't laugh. Laughing at the part where she's cheating on her husband, that's funny. His fingers pull at the hair, and then one finger slides between my lips. "I can feel you are enjoying this. You are already very wet." Again, no man would say that sentence. His hands move around to my buttocks, where he squeezes them. His fingernails. Oh my god, I didn't realize it was this fucking long. His hands move around to my butt. That's what she said. Oh, it's not this. Never mind. We're coming to the end. I thought it was like fucking more pages. It is. I mean, it's more pages in the book. I thought it was more. All right. His hands move around my buttocks where he squeezes them. His fingernails scratching my private opening. I can feel the excitement mounting low in my stomach, a delicious feeling so warm and so wet. Unzip my trousers. Free my penis, he orders. Oh my god. My fingers are sure as they first open the hook at his waist and then slowly lower the zip. Without being told, I slide my hands inside and push his trousers and pants past his hips. From behind, David takes hold of my arms and pulls me back. Alex sits in the armchair, his penis standing proud and his legs wide in front of him. I feel David guiding me towards the chair. He presses me down to my knees. Alex takes my head in both hands and pulls me towards his waiting penis. For a second, I resist, but then, licking my suddenly dry lips, I reach out for him. I'm so taken with my quest. I fail to notice the look that passes between Alex and David. Alex's hands hold my head firmly as he slowly probes my mouth with his penis. Unnoticed, David has removed his... She didn't notice this. Remember, it's never her fault. The woman has no fucking agency, right? She totally did not notice this other guy, who is also not her husband, in the room. She didn't notice that. Totally unnoticed. Unnoticed. David has removed his clothes and stands to one side of me, a whip in his hand. Alex's knees grip my waist as the whip stings my buttocks. Pleasure me as we pleasure you. Relax. Feel the whip as it kisses your cheeks. Look beyond the sting. Feel the pleasure as it moves over your body. Alex whispers, even though no man would ever say those sentences. My tongue slides over his penis, and I suck in a strong rhythm as Alex's cock nudges my throat. I can feel the whip as it stings my cheeks 10 times. Then hands are spreading my ass, separating my buttocks. A finger is probing my secret opening, which is wet with my... It's not secret. Sounds to me like there have been plenty of people there. I don't think it's a secret, honey. Which is wet with my own juices. My muscles tense against any further intrusion. A sharp slap relaxes me, and then I can feel David's penis as it pushes through the opening. Now I have two men thrusting into me faster and faster. My whole mind is swallowed up with feeling. I suck harder as I feel Alex's penis begin to throb, my fingers massaging his balls. A hand reaches around me and I feel David working on my clit, rubbing and pinching until I feel my muscles contract in readiness for my climax. Suddenly, my body is swamped with feeling as Alex pumps his cum down my throat. David pulls out of my ass and pumps his fluid over my still stinging buttocks, rubbing it in as if it were soothing ointment. My own powerful climax breaks and my body trembles. Slowly, Alex lifts my face, kisses my lips, my tongue licking his semen that is spilled onto my lips. David, the champagne, let's drink a toast to the future and fantasies yet to be realized. As I raise my glass to the two men who have just given me so much pleasure, I hope I won't have to wait too long for the next time. No, you won't. You just have to wait until you get away from your husband. You know, the guy you married that you're supposed to be monogamous with. Yeah, that you have loyalty to because, you know, the idea that women are biologically incapable of loyalty is, of course, just racist, sexist, homophobic, Donald Trump and KKK. Now, you say to me, but great one. Oh, great one. You're such a fucking idiot. Great one, that's just a fantasy. It's not real. No, but fantasies are things that you want to be real, right? Like, I have a fantasy that Donald Trump would win the presidential election and all the fucking shit libs and social justice warriors would move to Canada. See, that's a fantasy. I want that to happen. Now, I recognize it's not likely to happen. That's the difference between a fantasy and a goal. Well, I don't necessarily always like the word goal, but that's the difference between a fantasy and something that can actually happen and be accomplished. But the fantasies I have, just because they are being a fantasy doesn't mean I don't want it to happen. It means I realize it is unlikely to happen. Okay? Right? My fantasy to have sex with the CSU women's volleyball team. It's a fantasy because it is unlikely to happen. But again, let us say that somebody, like the phone right now, went off and said, hey, great one, this is the CSU women's volleyball team, we're over here, and if you can get here in the next 10 minutes, we'll have sex with you. Right? If that had, I would be there. I would, and if I had to kill some people to get there in time, I wouldn't give a shit, okay? It's a fantasy, it's not likely to happen, but I want it to happen. And if the opportunity arose, right, if the opportunity arose for me to make Donald Trump president of the United States and get all the fucking shit libs and the fucking social justice warriors to go to Canada, boom, in a heartbeat, I would be on that. I'd be on that like white on rice. I'd be on that. I would be on that like a white policeman shooting a black man. I would be fucking on that. See how racist we can get in this episode. Oh, wait, everything I do is racist. All right, female fantasies. Got to put that on the notes here. By the way, girls, men don't talk like that. Just saying. So see, you're supposed to know what she wants, and you're supposed to have sex with her, and you're supposed to dominate her and control her, and it doesn't matter that she's married. You're still supposed to bang her because that's what she wants. She wants to be fucked by two men while her beta male husband is, I don't know, is he at home taking care of the kids? Is he off at his cubicle job? I don't know what the beta male is doing. But that's the female fantasy right there. All right, where are we at on time there, sweetheart? God damn it. I had this pile of stuff. I didn't get to it. Let me get to this. Let me get this off of the fucking pile while we're ragging on women. Where the fuck is it? Hold on. I gotta find it. It's in here somewhere. This is the Fort Collins Courier. It's this little throwaway rag that gets published around here by these people called Wolverine Farm Publishing. Basically, they're just a bunch of fucking stupid hippies. Here we go. All right, wait, where are we on time? Shit, can I get it in? I think, can I get it in? Oh yeah, I can get it in, honey. Yeah. God, that tea is good. Shit, Randy, where's my fuck, oh. I'd say, where's my fucking water bottle? It's right in front of me. It's the same place that the goddamn, what do you call that thing? Incense holder was at. Right in front of me. Alright, I gotta clean this fucking place up. Alright, when we're done recording, I think I'm gonna hit the book. What time is it? Shit. I may try to do the bookshelves tonight. Alright, here we go. This is CoinOp, Conversation and Community, an interview with Delia La Jesolua, or some shit, founder and editor, by Rachel Becker. Okay, here we go. The first time I walked into Wolverine Farm bookstores at the Bean Cycle, I was magnetically drawn to a small section in the back, the local zines, particularly a stack of small, colorful issues with the words Coin Op boldly expressed across the covers. Not sure what to expect, I found the pages were filled with a diverse, buzzword, range of artwork and writing that felt immediately raw, thoughtful, powerful, and important. the arrangement of voices fearlessly cover topics like sexuality, gender, gentrification, which I will admit to you, I don't really know what the fuck that word even means, family, consciousness, love, identity, capitalism, sexual assault. Through mediums of poetry, essay, collage, photography, and illustration, the more I explore these words, the works, the more I discover new layers of profound depth and humanity, the authenticity of people's direct expressions through fears and dreams. God. I recently had the opportunity to meet with Dalila Lajuharusa, the founder of CoinOp, to learn more about the project and how all this came to be. What inspired you to create CoinOp? And Lajuri responds, "The idea for CoinOp started 2 years ago. I was studying sociology and women's studies." In case you haven't already figured this out, Wolverine Farm is a left-wing statist publishing house. And the Bean Cycle it's a coffee shop here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins. It's up in Old Town. You walk in, it stinks of hippie. I've talked about it in the past because I've gone there a couple of times for various reasons, usually because somebody else wanted to meet there. And I just said, fine, I'd never go there on my own accord. It's a place where many years ago I walked in. I talked about this on the podcast. And yeah, we're totally going to run out of time, so this will have to fucking continue in the next one. God damn it. It's fine. I walked into this place one time, and there's a bunch of people in there. They're sitting there. They're watching this movie being projected on the wall. And it's a movie about how evil George Bush is, the second George Bush. And as I said at the time, look, It's cool. I hate George Bush too. But who are you losers? There's a, hey, let's go to the coffee shop and hang out and watch movies about George Bush. I mean, God damn it, get a fucking life. Right? As I've said before, I come on this podcast, I fucking rant and I scream cunt and fuck. But this is not the entirety of my fucking life, man. God damn it, when I go to a fucking coffee shop, the last thing I want to do is watch some fucking movie about anything to do with politics. If I'm going to go to a coffee shop, I'm going there to either drink some coffee and relax or to hang out with my friends. I want to fucking talk about George Bush. I give a shit how much I hate George. I don't want to fucking talk about George Bush. Fuck. So it's just all these left-wing statist fucking losers with their fucking greasy mustaches, and that's just the girls. I mean, and they smell like hippies, and it is the nastiest fucking hippie place. I'm really kind of pissed off that it's still in business. I was hoping they would go under. All right, anyway. So, Delia Jachalou, Delia, whatever the fuck her name is, La Jachalou, was studying sociology and women's studies at Colorado State University and having really interesting conversations on campus and in classes, but they were still pretty structured as academia tends to be. Oh, you mean in other words they were controlled so as to protect you from being triggered, right? Conversations in college are structured. Wow, imagine that. I was just trying to have a conversation with people everywhere in my life to make feminism something approachable. Not this incredibly daunting thing or something where people feel like they're being attacked. I have a lot of guy friends, which is something that every slut says, and I feel like they're often defensive. Which I think is a shame, because there are places for men to come in. I really believe that feminism is going to benefit everybody. Yes, you see, men, there are places where the feminists are willing to allow you to come in. Well, for example, let's say that there's a jar that needs to be opened. Or let's say there's a heavy object that needs to be moved. Or, I don't know, let's say there's some people in a foreign country and we need to send some ground troops over there to shoot at those people and be shot at. So let's say, or what about maybe there's trash collection duties that need to be, you know, somebody needs to get up early in the morning, drive around in a trash truck, dump all those trash dumpsters and take them away so the trash doesn't pile up and disturb the privilege of the white women who live in places like the People's Republic of Fort Collins. Yes, you see, men, there are some places where you can come in. There's some places you're allowed to come in, and that's why feminism is going to benefit everybody. I'm an artist and a poet, and a zine just seemed like a safe platform to open it up in a way that's more free, where we can work with those ideas and have a conversation. I love it when left-wing statist, femistatist cunts talk about, I want to have a conversation. You ever tried to have a fucking conversation with a femistatist? Have you? It is nothing. Oh my God. Lauren Sutherland. I saw this video. Lauren Sutherland on something called Sky News, which I've never heard of before, debating some idiot, I don't know who this guy is, over gun control. And this man, there will be linking to this. I might do a fucking podcast talking about this. And he's just like off the hook, just like screaming and yelling and calling her Miss Sullivan, and you're a Canadian, and what do you, and just insulting her left, right, and she, you know, she says something like, well, if you make guns illegal, people will just buy guns illegally. And he's like, no, they won't. And she's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Yes, they will. If you make shit illegal, people will still buy it illegally. To say that it is not true that people will buy things that are illegal illegally, I mean, this is the fucking level of intelligence you get from a left-wing statist. Anyway, it's hilarious. It was like this fucking old man fucking white-haired version of Trigglypuff or something. But anyway, yeah, we want to have with those ideas and have a conversation. Jesus Christ, honey. First, nobody wants to have a conversation with you. I'm gonna make fun of you. I'm gonna do that. I do not. Nor does any other sane, rational person want to have a fucking conversation with a fucking femistatist cunt like you. Alright, let me mark my place. Next episode, we'll come back and we'll finish this the fuck off. Now I'm going to go clean the bookshelf.